Good morning. Welcome to hour two of the roundtable. Our guest this morning, Dr. Andrew Weil, a leader and pioneer in the field of integrative medicine. In October of 2008, Dr. Weil, with restaurateur Sam Fox, opened his first True Food Kitchen restaurant in Phoenix, Arizona, with a goal of creating a menu of freshly imagined meals centered on the principles of his anti-inflammatory diet and food pyramid. The restaurant has opened other locations and is growing. It's garnered the reputation of being one of the country's healthiest and has become known for its use of organic and locally grown products, as well as seasonal menu changes. Now, Dr. Weil, Sam Fox, and executive chef Michael Stebner have collected more than 125 recipes from the restaurant in the new book, True Food: Seasonable, Sustainable, Simple, Pure. It's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Andrew Weil back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Hello.
When you, how do we define true food?
Well, real food, simple ingredients, bold flavors, not too much fancying up of things to let the real flavors of real food come through.
So it would seem to me that when you start something like this, that you have a mission to show off a little bit in the sense of letting people know what is possible with true food and how it can be every bit as delightful as another dining experience.
Yeah, I mean, the big challenge that I've faced over the years is trying to convince people that food that's delicious and food that's good for you can be one and the same. Most people think that eating healthy means giving up everything you like. And all of us have been served really dreadful stuff that we've been told is good for us. So I wanted to show people that this is not does not have to be the case. But unless you've had the experience of eating delicious food that's good for you, you don't believe it's possible. And we do that in the restaurant. You know, there are people that eat in these restaurants 4 and 5 times a week because they like it so much and you feel so good when you eat there. And now you can have this experience at home.
So it is a way of kind of a gateway where you are showing people what is possible.
Yes, and I don't think there's any other restaurant that really has a coherent nutritional philosophy that conforms to cutting-edge science. This is all based on my anti-inflammatory diet, which I think is your best shot at optimum health and maximum longevity.
So what does that mean, anti-inflammatory? I know we've talked about it in the past.
It will help contain inappropriate inflammation in the body, which is the root cause of all trouble. And the mainstream diet in America is strongly pro-inflammatory. It gives you the wrong kinds of fats, wrong kinds of carbohydrates, not enough of the protective elements that are in fruits, vegetables, herbs, and spices. I base this on the Mediterranean diet, for which we have a great deal of scientific evidence for its benefits, and I've added Asian influences to it to make it even more effective.
What do we know about the inflammation that is caused by many foods?
The fats that predominate in fast food, in refined and processed food, increase inflammation in the body. Quick-digesting carbohydrates, products made with flour and sugar, cause spikes of blood sugar, which also increase inflammation in the body. So, you know, these are really the big problems with a lot of the mainstream food, that the kinds of fats in it and the kinds of carbohydrates increase inflammation throughout the body.
And the long-term effects of that being a regular diet of that is what?
Increase the risks. It accelerates aging. It increases the risks of cardiovascular disease, increases risks of cancer, increases risks of Alzheimer's disease. Really, all of the serious chronic diseases that we associate with aging are rooted in inappropriate chronic inflammation.
If we adopt an anti-inflammatory diet, is it possible to turn back the clock? How much of that damage is permanent?
You know, anything can be reversed, and as soon as you stop doing the things that are promoting unhealthy changes, the body begins to respond. I put a lot of people in this way of eating, and this is not hard. This is food that can be very satisfying, but I put people with arthritis, with autoimmune diseases on this way of eating, and in 4 to 6 weeks, often dramatic improvements, and people are able to reduce amounts of medication they're taking. And it's a shame that more doctors don't recommend this to people, but, you know, nutrition is still not really emphasized in medical education.
You write in the book. There's a section in the book called "Embracing the Bison," mm-hmm. and you make the point that you have had beef since you stopped eating meat 40 years ago, and believe that beef is the least healthy food on the American diet. So, what brought you to bison, and will you eat that?
Well, I don't eat meat. I eat fish and vegetables. But
okay.
My restaurant partner, Sam Fox, is a big meat eater, and he insisted on having meat dishes on the menu, and I think he's been right to do that. But I said, let's try bison instead of beef, because the research on bison, especially if it's, produced right, grass-fed, grass-finished bison, without antibiotics in it and hormones, is much healthier than beef. It's got a better fatty acid profile, fewer environmental contaminants in it, lower fat, higher protein, and if you fix it right, it's very tasty.
What is it about beef that concerns you?
Well, first of all, conventional beef, the way it's raised, is horrible because it contains residues of antibiotics and growth-promoting hormones that I think are quite dangerous for us. Also, because cows are at the top of the food chain, they tend to concentrate environmental toxins. And the way we raise most cattle, we fatten them on grains, which they're not evolved to eat. That changes the nature of the fat in beef in a way that makes it pro-inflammatory.
You talk about vegetables in the book and say that you've come to like every vegetable that you hated as a kid. Our tastes change as we get older, and hopefully we become more receptive to things that we shunned as a kid.
But really, I don't think I ever had all the broccoli I was served as a kid was hideously overcooked. It was yellow green and mushy,
yeah,
with a sulfury taste. If you cook broccoli really quickly, it should be bright green, crunchy. It's really tasty. I would never have thought of eating raw kale any time in my life, but the Tuscan kale salad that's in the book and is one of our most popular dishes, this is a recipe I brought back from Italy. The kale sits for 15 minutes or so in a dressing with lemon juice and salt and olive oil. That takes the bitterness out of it and softens it. And this is one of our most popular dishes, even with kids.
You, desserts are included. You make the point that you do not recommend sweet desserts at the end of every meal, but there are wonderful desserts in this book and wonderful desserts that you serve at the restaurant.
And I like dessert once in a while. I think the new research on sugar is not reassuring. It looks as if sugar is really not great for us. I think the goal is to reduce overall consumption. A good place to start is with sugary drinks. We don't need to be drinking sweet liquids. If we could phase that out, that would be a huge step in the right direction.
And what do you mean by that? What are we talking about?
I'm talking about sodas, fruit juices, sweet tea. We don't need to be drinking sweet liquids.
Okay.
That's a good place to try to make that go away.
And even something, and I understand the soda part, but even a fruit juice, an apple juice.
There is not that much difference between a glass of fruit juice and a glass of soda in terms of the effect of the sugar in it on blood sugar and all of the changes that that causes.
And when you look at, I find it interesting because obviously, you have this diet, and you are presenting this to people. But yet the food going public, the restaurant going public, certainly I guess has certain expectations when they go into a restaurant. So how do you balance that when people come in for the first time and expect a certain thing and see something else?
We don't sell this as health food. This is just really good food, and people come in because the food is delicious and beautiful. It happens to be good for you. If people want to know about the nutritional benefits of it, we'll tell them, but that's not what we're selling. We're selling great-looking, great-tasting food, and people come back and back for it. People often eat, many times a week in our restaurants. And I hope they're learning to make this kind of food at home.
As the founder and director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, what do you think is the state of integrative medicine in this country now? What has changed?
This is a real becoming a mainstream movement, and it's now really being driven by economic necessity, because as our healthcare system collapses, I think the wisdom of what we're doing is more and more apparent that, integrative medicine can lower healthcare costs, both by really focusing on real prevention through attention to lifestyle and by bringing into the mainstream less expensive treatments that are not dependent on technology.
And how do you bring that to the mainstream?
Well, our center is trains physicians and nurse practitioners, medical students, medical residents. We will soon graduate our 1,000th physician fellow from our two-year intensive training. So we've got 1,000 doctors out there now who are not only practicing this way, but teaching other doctors, publishing textbooks in this field. You know, as I say, it is rapidly catching on.
When you talked a moment ago about the declining healthcare system, I mean, do you see any improvement in that?
No, I'm sorry, I don't. I think the healthcare reforms that were enacted, this was a step in the direction of trying to bring healthcare to more people and curbing some of the worst abuses of insurers. But it really does nothing to change the nature of medicine, the nature of medical education, to shift from disease management to health promotion and prevention. And all that has to happen, or we're headed for certain collapse.
So what do we need to make that happen?
Well, I think it's going to take a grassroots movement, because I don't think there's any possibility that change can come from our elected politicians or the government. They are just too tied into the vested interests that don't want anything to change.
The name of the book is True Food, Seasonal, Sustainable, Simple, Pure. It is published by Little Brown. Dr. Andrew Weil, it's always a great pleasure to have you on the program. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season, and I thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
A great pleasure. Again, the title of the book, True Food, Seasonal, Sustainable, Simple, Pure, more than 125 delicious recipes from America's healthiest restaurant. Dr. Andrew Weil is the author, published by Little Brown. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.